All right. Let's get it.
Let's get into it, dude.
Let's get into it. I'm ready to get into it. I'm looking forward to getting into it.
What else are you gonna get into?
I don't know.
Okay, first of all, a couple things.
Okay.
Look, we may have new listeners, we may not, but I want to say this. To the old listeners, like I always say in my speech, guys, we love you guys. You guys have been the best. You guys keep us going. You guys keep us hoping for that dick skin wallet, dude, from our sponsor.
That's the only thing we hope for.
Yeah. That's the only thing we're looking for this year. Other than that, this year fucking sucks.
We love you, man.
Yeah. If you're a new listener and you're easily offended, hey, this is your last chance, dude. You've been warned. Spoiler alerts. Dick skins ahead, if you know what I mean.
You've already dropped the dick skin.
All right.
We're going really early on dick skins this week.
Here we go, guys. Oh, man. I shouldn't have said dick skin so early because of the algorithm.
What algorithm?
You know, the YouTube algorithm. Now they put us in a special class of dick skin fucking videos.
Yeah.
But anyway, if I'm a young man going through puberty, this is the best episode because you see Troy's nips, dude.
Well, I mean, you see.
You know?
They are clearly there.
Yeah.
She's pretty much naked.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to say it, dude.
Clearly braless.
This is a good cranking episode, if you know what I mean.
She's naked under that very thin.
Well, that's what all clothes are, though, Sarah.
Everyone's naked under our clothes.
Yeah, Sarah. You're naked under your clothes. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not. I'm a never nude.
You have more clothes under that?
But yeah, you are nude under all of that.
Sarah, you wear, you know those masks you put on your face for like to rejuvenate your face? You put that on your whole body?
Yes.
So you have a thick skin under
you know, I had always seen this little very sexy clip of Deanna floating around. I was wondering when we were going to get to the episode
with the white
I've never seen it.
No. With her in that very, like, you know, sheer outfit.
With the nippy one?
Yes, of her opening the door and, like, you know, her being in this very nice.
Interesting. I've actually never seen images of that.
And I was waiting for it. I was like, when are we going to get to this episode?
What are you looking at? What are you looking at that you had seen this before?
No comment.
I mean, to me, one of the more famous images of Deanna.
I was looking for that pollo place from Florida and the cleavage.
One of the more famous visuals of Deanna is when she has the Bride of Frankenstein hair and she's in 10 forward. That's like,
she looks good in this. This was a good episode.
Be specific. She looks good for half the episode and then the other half, she looks horrible.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. To some people, that's what they want, though.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
that's true.
Wait, actually, she looks like.
I mean, there's a reason why there's a lot of granny porn out there. You know, some people are into that.
That's true.
So, God. Jesus Christ.
Tons.
Grannies are allowed to have porn. Sarah,
first of all, you can't kink shame anymore. Not in this day and age. You'll get canceled.
Let grandmas have sex online. Dude. Come on.
Yeah. God. We'll cancel you 3 weeks from Tuesday.
They're having fun too.
Yeah, dude. You got to let people have fun.
The golden girls
Here's
have
the thing,
fun.
Dude. Here's the thing. If you're older, go out there, fuck all you want, but don't be part of the government. Retire, go out, fuck, dude. Go suck each other off. Turn off the lights, play Who's in My Mouth. It's all cool, dude. But do not try to run the government, dude.
I mean, in many ways, that's why people get into government in the first place.
For fucking?
You know it.
Well, yeah, but like at a certain point, like just get out, dude. Just go out there and enjoy the fucking, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that like swinger culture tends to lean towards older people. They're finally like,
I heard this.
They're old and bored.
Statistics.
Yeah.
That STDs are at one point higher with older, like retirement communities because of that.
It's always every retirement community, STDs are an issue.
Because they're riddled. Yeah. It's a cesspool of STDs.
Well, I guess because like protection, maybe. I guess you're not really worried about getting pregnant. So like,
hey, dude, no judging, dude.
But also,
you're not on birth control or any kind of protection.
They don't give out protection. And then
is it because they think older our older population, older and wiser population, does not have sex?
Yeah, and also they don't let them leave to get condoms. So,
yeah, dude.
I mean,
no, I mean, you don't have to leave. They probably can just put it, give them to you. You know, like,
but they don't.
No, they don't, Sarah. Have you lived in an old folks home?
They barely get food, Sarah. No, yeah, you think they're gonna give out condoms?
They beat these people, dude.
You think they're gonna give condoms? Be like, you know, like when you're in a dorm or something, and in the general area, they might have like a bucket.
I
of
don't know.
Condoms or something. That you can
yeah, use. The communal condom bucket.
Yeah, dude. The classic communal condom
that everyone bucket. Has poked holes through, and you can just...
Like, every week, an Ari comes and just pours a whole new load of into the bucket.
Yeah. And he's all, have fun, guys.
They would always give, like, the flavored condoms, you know? And I'm like, I don't think people want
always?
That. Really? Yeah, that was, like, really common.
Is that,
common
like, all they stocked? That was standard issue?
That was
issue?
One of the more common ones. Like, it was hard. I remember it being hard to find just, like,
okay,
a
what
not
was the
flavored.
What was the least preferred flavor? What was always left?
I don't know. I didn't want any of the flavor. I didn't want flavor. I mean, that sounds like a fast track to like a yeast infection.
I remember.
Their flavor
Cal
crystals
Arts.
Probably lemon.
Their flavor crystals, yeah. Sarah.
Probably lemon.
I remember at Cal Arts they were giving out condoms, but they were all like green, like leprechaun green, and we
well,
were like,
"Well, it was March, dude. get in the spirit, dude."
We were like, that's kind of a weird thing.
When was the most recent Shrek release?
Leprechauns, although small, have big dicks.
What?
That's a fact, dude. That's a fact. Yeah
don't
it's
judge.
A historical
don't
fact.
Judge.
You say that with such conviction. Yeah. I didn't know, about this fact.
I know. I have experience.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'll tell the story after this.
After the sponsor read.
Yeah.
Well,
film at 11.
This episode, we watched Man of the People, which sort of connects. The title connects, I guess. The to man what? Eats the people, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I should have had a better title. This title sucked.
It's kind of well, a
I
weird
thought,
title.
Like, I think it's how he was trying to frame himself, right?
Yeah, he's trying to frame himself, I guess, as a man of the
okay,
people.
Okay, wait. What's a better alternate title we can come up with? Like,
Young think. Titties, Old Titties.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Man Eater.
Yeah. Skeleton Man Key. Eater.
Skeleton Key. Ooh.
Deja vu.
So this movie
this feels
movie,
familiar.
Yeah. What's it called? The Key Jordan Peele movie?
How about nope. older? How nope. about older, nope. but not wiser?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like it.
How about Shiver Me Timbers?
They could do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it should be called The Picture of Dorian Gray That Got Messed Up. Yeah.
I feel like episode should be titled "It's Like Dorian Gray," you know. So, like the other, like, what was the previous episode? The previous episode was Realm of Fear. It's like being afraid of planes. That should be the name of the episode.
The one is, that's about like being afraid of planes.
What would be the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia title for this?
The gang steal people's souls.
The gang steal people's souls. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Again.
Oh, yeah, so, it's kind of a comment. This is the second time, I guess, like people have been stealing someone's like age or something.
Oh,
there's
also
a lot
like,
of familiar elements to this episode.
Deanna is, we need to protect her mind at all costs because apparently she gets taken advantage of like way too often.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, by unrepentant middle-aged white dudes.
let me reiterate something that I've been talking about for 5 seasons now. She's fucking useless, dude. Troy's useless, dude. She's there for a simple reason, which is to, as an empath, that's her job. Mm-hmm. And she can't see this fucking coming, dude. She can't see this.
Well, she can't. Oh, no, she could read him.
Yes.
But he couldn't read her. So really, she had all the advantages.
Yeah.
But I guess she was
picking up on like the weird disparity between him and his companion lady. Like, the companion lady was all evil and negative emotion, and he was calm and serene.
Can't she sense intention, though? I thought she could. I thought she could sense, like, deception.
He was probably hiding something.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like she could sense that, but she didn't sense that. She was too attracted to him to sense it, I guess.
Maybe she was, she wasn't necessarily hiding anything.
And then why didn't she sense something was off? I mean, she sensed something was off with the mom, but like not to the
extent. Well, she thought the mom was pure really evil.
Yeah. 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 Which she was, because she was storing all the evil from
exactly.
the dude.
Yeah, she was storing
so here's, but somehow negative emotions age you. Why?
Yeah. Because.
That's true, Dan. Yeah, negativity does age
Dorian
you.
Gray.
Stress does age you.
Yeah. It also makes you orange and leathery. They made it seem like she was horned up and like there was nothing that she could see beyond that. Do you know what I mean?
I guess that was supposed to be the cover for why she's so willing to go along with whatever bullshit he's doing, I guess. It's kind of weird. They sort of like portray him as like a ladies' man. Because, like, the other lady also immediately started liking him. And it's like,
oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, I have so many questions now, but maybe we should save it. I there's so much.
Yeah, we're getting too far in already.
Yeah.
There's some weirdness. I have some questions around, like, mom-son relation. Then, I don't know. I'm confused.
That wasn't his mom, dude, first of all.
I know it wasn't his mom, but it was sold as his mom. It was just a cover story. It was only revealed that at the last minute, and, like, I have questions, is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, Man of the People, it was first aired on October 5th of 1992. Around the Sun We Go.
All right, so not a whole lot happened. I just got a couple of movies and a bit of news. So one movie was Glengarry Glen Ross, a film adaptation of a play about real estate salesmen. If you ever heard the lines like ABC standing for Always Be Closing and Coffee is for Closers, then this would be the origin movie.
It's also heard that. Wow.
Okay. Well, it's also the inspiration for Gil Gunderson in The Simpsons. You know, old Gil, that guy like that. There's a guy who sounds like that in the film.
Get another lick of that old brass ring.
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, it was Jack Lemmon. Also released was The Mighty Ducks.
Oh.
Quack.
Well, the first one?
Quack, yeah.
Yeah. Quack, damn you.
Yes. That was Adam. No, not Adam. That was Jamie in the theater. Yeah. He wanted it so bad. Okay, on October 1st, the Cartoon Network launched on cable. Mm. It was the very first 24-hour animation-focused network.
And now it's not anymore.
Yeah. Guess which character like was the guide to the Cartoon Network that like told you about what its deal was?
Probably Max Headroom.
No.
It was Tom and Jerry. I don't know.
Tommy Lasorda?
Droopy the dog.
Oh, okay. Oh. Not that I wasn't that off.
Right. Yeah.
The saddest thing was we live near the Cartoon Network original building in Burbank. And those studios shut down. And there's an artist I follow, Mariel Loom. She used to work there. And she set up an event where they all took a photo. The last photo ever of all the crew in front of Cartoon Network Studios. And mm-hmm. then they started taking the sign down and then selling off the letters.
Yeah.
And
I mean, what else are you going to do if you have to take... If you're going to take it down, what else happens to it, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to make some money off of that, dude.
I mean, can we give it away? Do we have to sell it?
Why would we have to give it away if we can make money off of it?
That's like when your company goes broke and they're like selling the office chairs and the paper and the printer. And
They definitely do that.
You got to, dude.
Yeah, they definitely do that at least.
Yeah, you got to feed the monkey.
Yeah. Anyway, that was all I had for this week around the sun.
Oh, okay. Boom.
They should do this. If you get let go from your company, mm-hmm. they should, no matter if the company's going out of business or anything, they should let you do whatever you can carry in your arms without falling. You get to take home.
I agree.
Some companies have done this.
Isn't that what we all did during the pandemic?
Many companies have done this.
Like, you know, when they were all like, oh, everyone go work from home. It became like, I don't know about you guys, but everyone went on their own time and was like, oh, I'm taking this chair and this.
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to name
a bunch of this stuff.
I'm not going to name the company where this happened at, but the company I was working at during pandemic, a friend of mine who was a contractor was slated to become a full-time employee, but because of the pandemic, you know, there was a hiring freeze, and so he was essentially laid off, and they were like, just keep all the stuff he gave you. It's fine. And so he kept like a $50,000 iMac and like all this equipment.
Love it.
And because they were like, good for him. It's fine. Just take it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, I know I loaded up on like office supplies and stuff. Like, you know.
Oh, pens, yeah. I mean, a lot papers, of people took home office furniture. And
I took home like food stuff. During the pandemic, because I was one of two people that was going into the office still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
like to just get drives and stuff, hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one was in the kitchen, so I would just steal popcorn bags.
But also, that shit's gonna go bad if no one's eating it.
Technically, I wasn't stealing it. I was giving it to the earth.
Yeah, you're salvaging.
Yeah, which is I was eating it and then shitting it out.
Yeah.
You were hunter gathering, you know.
Yeah.
It was called the circle of life for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
My dog didn't allow me to go home.
Oh, well, you were an essential worker.
Of sorts. And let's not go any further than that.
I'm not essential.
Well, you know what is essential if you want to securely browse the internet? A good VPN. And a good VPN is ExpressVPN.
Look, guys, you know what? I had an incident this week that involved the police department. And
what?
Maybe
why
I should
does
have
been, the VPN factor into this?
Because maybe if I was using a VPN, this wouldn't have all happened. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Let's just say certain things were leaked because...
Wait, you're...
Certain things happened that led to an arrest in Baltimore, Maryland of somebody.
Oh,
that
wow.
had to do with identity theft. And
oh, wow.
Your nudes?
Thankfully, no, those are safe. But all I'm saying is it's no joke. There are people out there that are taking your information, your shit, who are out there to destroy your life, take your identity and use a VPN, protect those passwords, do what you got to do, because I know firsthand that it can happen and it's very stressful.
And to be clear, a VPN is not a be-all, end-all solution.
It's
to
not, but it's a tool in your toolkit.
Yeah, it's one aspect you should have in order to keep your internet identity a little bit more secure. And not just that, but it comes with a lot of other fancy functions as well. You know, given the name ExpressVPN, it is actually very fast, so your actual internet speed won't be affected. Latency is also tends to be pretty good, so a lot of people actually can game on it while you're connected to ExpressVPN, and it's still pretty decent. It's very accessible. It's available on almost every app you can think of. As over 3,000 servers all over the world, it actually works pretty well with streaming services, and it's got a built-in ad blocker, which is another convenience, but also kind of a security feature, because a lot of weird little computer tracker things happen with those ads that bad websites serve you, you know? Those can mess stuff up.
If you go to YouPorn and you're watching things, those ads track you.
The ad blocker is good for that, and it's got a built-in password manager. That's always good to have.
In order to avoid identity theft.
Yeah, and if you guys would like to sign up for ExpressVPN, just head on over to expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. And if you sign up for 12 months, they'll give you 3 months for free, which means the entire package is 49% off, almost half off.
That's great.
That's crazy. And if you just want to try it out, you aren't sure, it does have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can always try it out. If you're not sure, you can just send it back for a refund. So again, that's expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. And if you sign up for 12 months, they'll give you 3 months for free. And also, Exter, you know, small compact wallets, very cool. It's got a cool little button for quick access to cards, fan out. This is a copper brushed wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exter is sending us two of them, so we get to try them out and show you guys what they'll be like. I'm actually pretty excited about this. Is one of the more interesting visual.
Hold on. Wait, when you say show, do you mean anything more than what we've already been doing, as in just talking about it?
I'll make a little video for you guys. We'll make a little video.
You keep saying that, but you don't do it.
I have made
videos. Did the footage get hacked with this leak?
I made a video of the cool transporter thingy.
Oh, yeah.
That thing.
Was, yeah.
And I'll show.
What transporter thing?
Oh, you didn't see it. See that? The short?
Oh, Ricardo, this is Watch Our Shorts in the event there's a potential spoiler. But
there was
one where from a thrift shop, we found a working transporter TNG toy. Mm. So if you put a figurine in it and you turn it on, it, you know, like the double, like the two-way mirror effect? A one-way mirror? It uses essentially a one-way mirror to make it look like they transported.
It's so cool. We'll send it to you after. But
so that's pretty neat.
We can make a short featuring the wallet.
In the YouTube version, you'll see a little video showing off what the extra wallet looks like in person.
We're on YouTube?
Oh, Ricardo.
No, we're not on YouTube. Yeah. We're actually not anywhere. This is just for personal use.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, hopefully no one's leaking all of these episodes.
These are only going on YouPorn and
this is our only, this is a personal discussion.
And Xvideos, PornTube,
if you're watching RedTube. Us on Facebook, this is stolen content.
if you're watching this on, like, Pornhub, leave a good comment below. Like, good, like,
first of all, thank you for ripping this to Pornhub. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. We should explore that platform as an
also, opportunity. Leave a timestamp of when you finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
that's
all
always useful.
But yeah, if you guys want to check out some of... Oh, I forgot to even mention. They're coming out with a new backpack. It's the Grid Duffel Bag.
Oh, shit. Backpack. I want that.
I told you I wanted... That's what I wanted.
Duffel Bag. It's a backpack. Maybe we'll get it soon.
And we'll show you guys. But anyway, you can head on over to extra.com. That's EKSTER.com and use offer code NEWBIE to get an additional... discount on any order you make site wide. I just say discount because it's variable depending on what sale it stacks with, but it adds on to all already ongoing sales. So you just get a bigger discount based on whatever you do. So again, head on over to extra.com and use our offer code NEWBIE, that's NEWBIE, for an additional discount on any order site wide. All right. Denise?
Ricardo, could you please tell us what happened in this episode?
There she is.
Oh, you know what I just realized, Marvin? We named our porch squirrel Denise.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah. You can't say that. It's a racial term.
we have a squirrel that visits our...
porch squirrel is okay, I hope.
It visits our patio.
It's not okay. I'm so sorry. Please.
Or
please
our balcony.
Yeah, we have a squirrel that visits.
I need a cancel button. So every time somebody says something like that, I go, maybe goes, what goes, if, kick, 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 kick,
what if we commission LeVar Burton to say cancel?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Gammy? Is he on Cameo? Is he on Cameo?
I think he's like $1,000 or something.
We need to get him to do it.
Cancel.
And then we'll put a filter on it and then like dub it. So it's like dubstep.
Oh
so it's
my
like,
God.
Canceled. Yeah, exactly. That's how we'll. And then we'll pay for LeVar Burton to say that. And we won't even know it's him. And then we'll.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Yeah.
We'll pay for it and then we'll distort it beyond recognition. Amazing.
Anyway, Denise.
You've been canceled.
So good.
Here's the thing. This episode is crazy. First of all, as soon as I saw this old lady that beamed into the ship, I knew shit was going to go down, dude.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So they get
you immediately know that what she is saying is like a double entendre. Where she's like, stay away or you'll regret it. And she's like being truthful. She's saying you'll regret it because he's going to suck your soul.
But why does she need to speak in riddles?
Because she's old, crazy dude. Now. Yeah. She's crazy now, Dan.
Well, think about it.
Her mind is fucked up.
You think of how old do you think she is? She's probably like 30 something. They said, right?
No.
So they get hailed, right? And they're like, hey, we're getting shot. We got this guy who's
they need to go respond to the Dorian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Dorian. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they, what's this guy? He's a concubine. What's that? Not concubine. What's the word I'm looking for?
I feel like this is the first time their reference has not been subtle. You know?
No. Like, but no, the guy, he's like,
a diplomat, an ambassador.
That's it.
He's a peacemaker.
That's the word I was looking for.
Peacemaker. A negotiator.
Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
So he's a negotiator, and they're like, hey, we're being shot. That's
mediator.
It.
Even more specific.
Mediator? Mm-hmm. I really know her.
I mean, we've never had this plot before.
But so they're like, hey, they're shooting us, they're throwing rocks at us, and they're calling us names.
I threw a rock at them.
Yeah, and we're going to put the mediator on your ship, and you figure it out. And they're like, all right, cool. And so fucking Viggo Mortensen gets fucking zapped over. He's like budget Viggo Mortensen. And this lady, I immediately recognize her. Immediately.
Which one?
And I'm like, don't the old
the
lady.
The old lady?
Yeah.
In her old form? Well, she's only old.
I mean, she only has one form, Sarah. Come on, dude.
God damn it.
God.
But like, do you recognize her?
Oh, boy, dude.
Do you recognize her as that age in some other role? I guess my question is. Okay.
100%. And she was old back then. So 5 years before this, actually
she still
7 years.
Looks like this now.
Yeah.
She's 7 years Gilmore before grandma.
This, she was in a movie which I loved.
What movie?
Three movies.
It's called Happy Gilmore.
No, she's not in that.
Yeah, she is. She's the grandma.
Is she the grandma?
And where's the kiss mask?
No, it isn't, dude. It's the wrong grandma. No, it isn't, dude.
I feel like that's her, isn't it?
It's not her. It's not her. I just feel 100% her. Yeah.
I thought it was her.
Oh, God. You didn't actually have it looked up?
No, I just thought
that's a racist statement, dude. You're discriminated against old people, dude. Old people look the same to you, dude. That's crazy, dude. You're gonna get
canceled.
I'm oldest.
This is amazing.
So, this old lady, this is what I recognize her from. Mm. In 1985, she came out in a movie that really kind of shaped a lot of my childhood. Because my dad never censored what I could watch or not watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this way too young. Mm-hmm. This movie is called House. It came out in 1985.
The Japanese house?
No, dude. That Japanese house ain't got shit on this one, dude.
Oh, okay.
You're making some people mad with that.
Yeah. It stars William Catt, and it has George Wendt. It's a crazy fucking movie about this guy who inherits his aunt's house. Mm-hmm. But it's like fucking haunted, and like years before that, his kid had gotten lost, and like they thought he'd drown in a pool. But like, it's just a trippy ass fucking movie, dude. You guys have to check it out.
Okay,
it's wild. This is like the horror version of Solar Babies. So okay. if you like my recommendation of Solar Babies, go check out House, 1985. It's directed by Steve Miner, and again, it stars William Catt, the dude from Cheers, and the dude from Night Court.
You know what, Ricardo? But the more important movie that she's actually starred in is the Fist of the North Star movie.
Oh, boy. Wait, really?
Yeah. No. Well, the most important movie she starred in was Jaws Part 2, by the way.
That is comparable to Fist of the North Star, yes.
And she was also in Flatliners, by the way.
Well, I was looking at, to clarify, the lady who played Happy Gilmore's mom was named Frances Bay, and she was not.
Yes. This lady is named Susan French. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, check it out. And as soon as she showed up, I was like, this lady's up to no good. And she looks at Deanna and she's like, you want to fuck him, don't you? Stay away from him.
Get away from him, you whore.
Yeah, get away from him, you harlot.
This episode felt trashy.
It did.
It was a little trashy. Yeah. It's a little trashy.
But trashier than we're used to for Trek, at least.
I think the word is sexy, Dan. It's sexy.
But it's like, I think Marina Sirtis was kind of channeling her inner soap opera star a little, where it was
Well, I'm talking about like when people get up in people's faces, like, have you mated with him yet? And, you know, it's that sort of directness that I'm not used to seeing.
Are you looking at my tits?
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I felt the tension and the sexiness between Riker and Deanna. I was just like, ooh, can I just get right in between you guys and feel your feeling? Please.
Right between that sandwich.
Yeah, really these good. Are two very sexy people.
Yeah, and then they were just like, ooh, like, you know, just...
Riker's not into Riker's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
He's like, you whore.
you whore, come here.
You become a whore.
I wish you become a whore, and I love it.
I wish he had done the voice from what that show he does. He did after
Gargoyles. Oh. Gargoyles.
Beyond belief.
Beyond belief. Yeah,
that's just him. That's just Riker.
Have you ever showed up to somebody's apartment and they just fuck somebody?
What if Beyond Belief started with, why did you become such a whore? Yeah.
Have you ever known somebody that's become a whore? So we got to stop saying that, dude, because we cannot
normalize her. Whore.
Look, sex work is work. Sex work is work.
What are you talking about? She's not a sex worker, dude.
Sex work is. No, she's, I'm just talking well, about whores, using the word workers. Whore.
Oh, yeah. Normalize whores.
I'm normalizing.
I just spent the last couple of minutes likening her to one such sex worker. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a good thing. So anyway.
We're all over the place, man.
This I know. So Jesus anyway, Christ. This guy shows up and he's like, I need to get off the ship. I don't like guns. I'm a pacifist, man. And they're like, and then this
he does make a good point. He's like, so you're a ship full of guns, but you're a peacekeeping ship.
Oh my God, Ricardo, I keep thinking of your dollar store vegan Viggo Mortensen. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dollar store vegan Mortensen? What?
He does look like him. He does. I didn't realize that until you said that right now.
I told you, dude. Like
the main guy?
Yeah, the guy. He looks
He looks more like the original DA from Law and Order.
Don't try to change his... He looks like dime store fucking vegan Mortensen, dude.
Like, that's what he looks like. He does. The very first DA in Law and Order looks like this guy.
Anywho, sorry to interrupt. I'm looking at him and it's just, wow.
So, and then this older dude is like, no, dude, you're staying on the ship. You're staying on the ship and they're going to protect you, dude. Or else if you get on a pacifist ship, they'll just blow it up. So he's like, all right, fine. So he's like, Picard's like, I guarantee you safe passage. Like we always Uber people. we'll Uber you there and we'll Uber you back and we'll promise your safety. All right, cool. All let's do it, dude. Immediately. There's a lot of tension, dude. Like a lot of sexual tension between this Troy and Viggo Mortensen. And they say this old lady's his mom, but turns out it's not, dude.
Right.
It's probably some girl he fucked, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, which is weird. Yeah, I don't know.
So it shows he has just a general pattern of...
he just lies.
But no. What I mean is there's a connotation of he's not doing this for
the right reasons.
Right. Well, he's doing this for misogynist reasons.
It seems like he's picking young fuckable women.
Yeah, because if it was truly about just
how come he didn't pick Worf?
Yeah, exactly. If it was or truly about always needing to pass on the feeling, it could have been anyone that is empathic, but he always chooses women specifically.
Young women.
Yeah.
He's probably one of those dudes that say like, oh, women can't be presidents type of dude. He's like one of those dudes, you know? Like
I wonder if he also needs it, if he needs it because of their age is why it needs to be young.
Well, it would explain why he needs them like youngish, but doesn't mean that they gotta be ladies.
Yeah, I think there's like a kind of hint and or connotation that it's generally misogynist behavior.
But that's why I'm finding it creepy though.
Can you imagine that if this episode was flipped and it was Worf who was being like really sexy and like
yeah.
That'd be awesome actually.
That would make this episode much better in my eyes.
Because then you would see what Klingons do when they try to be sexy.
Yeah.
I know, but I want to see Worf yell do like Predator.
I mean, we have seen Worf do it. Like, do you think he just stood there with Kalar?
Yeah. Yeah, he just stood there.
Yeah.
But
dedicated to something that those two did.
Yeah, but he probably just stood there or laid there, and then Kalar did all the work, I bet you.
Worf would have been like 100%. Just slinging his two dicks, dude, around and been like, yeah, dude.
Just helicoptering both of them, dude.
Like a
Chinook helicopter. Yeah.
I mean, but isn't that where the creepy connotation comes in for me? Like, okay, like,
oh yeah, yeah,
if he's
absolutely
picking these young fuckable women that he's having sex with,
he's not having sex with them, dude.
There is an interesting thing where she does come on to him,
almost does,
and no, but he very explicitly goes, "We can't do this."
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's like something, that's a boundary that he sets for
maybe
himself.
Maybe it like breaks or fucks something up mentally.
No, I think so. To me, the connotation was he has misogynist behavior, but outwardly he understands that this is wrong. So he goes, if I do this, I'm taking advantage of you. I've essentially mind controlled you.
I don't think in his mind it's like
I'm succumbing to masturbation.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. That's what I mean.
I don't think he's like, I'm going to be moral sometimes, but then like, you know, fucking you is going way too far. But like,
he didn't fuck her. He probably didn't fuck the whole
thing. No, what I'm saying is like he draws the line there. Like I find that
he
hard.
He clearly did though. Yeah. He very explicitly did.
I know, but I'm wondering if it's for some other reason, like it like fucks up the link or the mind meld or like whatever, you know, like it's more logistical than we're thinking. You know,
I agree with you, Sarah, that the misogyny is like front and center here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's also weird that like he covers them as like his mom when they get older, because then it's like weird. Like,
well, he only did it once.
We only seen it once. Here's my girlfriend, this old lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he has to have a cover story.
Why not? Yeah. You know?
Which is weird, because I guess
yeah.
Does his whole society in on it?
I don't know.
I don't think so, because
that's part of why I hate this episode.
The other lady, the other lady that he tries to get to do it,
she doesn't seem to know. Yeah,
she doesn't seem to know.
So two things I noticed about this: like, he does have a weird, like, pervy vibe, right? This dude,
yes. Yeah.
And two, he's into crystals. That's what the two things that I noticed. Dude.
He's a crystal guy.
Oh, so now you like him because he's into crystals. Okay, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm a crystal girl. That's
really, you got to keep track of all the things you love, Sarah.
Very quick to turn.
Really mixed up somehow.
Very quick to turn onto the side of misogyny because he's into crystals.
She's like,
you can't be misogynist if you're into crystals.
No one who likes crystals could be an evil man.
No, duh.
So,
and if you like, I don't know, what is this, Tai Chi? I don't know what they're doing here. What is this?
Okay, so let's get to it. So the old lady warns her, and it's kind of a warning. Like, hey, don't fuck him because it's bad for you. What she really meant was, don't try to get horned up and fuck him because he'll enslave you like he did me.
I wish he'll steal your soul.
He'll turn you into a painting that gets older.
Nerf.
Because of his sins. Like that story.
And the one that the ship was named after in the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, he puts her in the room and she's like, shut up, fucking grandma. And he fucking leaves her.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. Shut up, mom.
He goes to a class that's being taught by Worf, dude, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Tai Chi, they're doing Tai Chi.
Yeah, I feel like, so this is Mock Bara. This is apparently a type of Klingon martial art that's similar to Judo. But I feel like it's just Worf trying to contend with the fact that he's really into Tai Chi.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it's got to sound cooler, though. I'm going to just call it Klingon martial arts.
Yes. Because
they're clearly just doing soft movements.
Yeah.
Like you see elderly people do in the park.
And then I like how none of their gis are like the same color.
No. Well, you know, even the...
they're all white and off-white, and it's kind of like...
They had to use bleach? Leftover material, dude, so, you know?
The replicator can't get the colors, right?
Yeah, they can't.
They're out of white fernie pads.
And so, immediately, Deanna's like, hey, you're very in tune with your body, if you know what I mean. I'm talking about that you're hot, dude. And so he's like, to his credit, he's not really being pervy to her. Like, he's not coming on to her, but like there's some sort of tension.
He wants to take advantage of her in a different way.
Yeah. Which is yes. With crystals.
Yeah.
Don't ever trust anybody with crystals.
Also, at this point, he actually isn't thinking of using her yet because.
Yeah.
Cause he thought the lady would survive. Yeah. Yeah. So this is all, I guess, actually them commiserating, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And so she walks into his room and the old lady comes out again. She's like, get away. She's like the cat lady from The Simpsons.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And yes. So he's like, or
the hag from the Army of Darkness.
Yes. By
so
the way,
does it cause you to feel like extreme jealousy?
Yeah. No, all of your horrible emotions goes into one person. Yes. Yeah.
So it is very vague.
But like, whatever. Whose emotions is that old his lady
emotions.
Feeling?
His emotions.
Apparently
so why,
his...
is he feeling jealous? Like, why is she so protective over him? Like, no, don't fuck him.
It's not clear. It's not clear.
Yes, like, it's not. It's not clear.
It's not clear.
Like, whose emotions are
we don't know.
Those?
So
I don't think
know.
It's direct emotions. I think it's just his general negativity is removed from him and placed
bad vibes.
Into her.
The bad vibes go into her.
Yeah, and then she just manifests it as bad things.
But I get I'm gonna say this.
Think of it as like, imagine if he could manifest a black suit Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I get it, but the anger is so specific. It's not like she's just going around raging and like fucking throwing things on the floor for like no reason, and like it's just a ball of negativity. She's very specific about what she's angry about.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the episode.
Well, they also get very clingy. They depict all of his receptacles as becoming clingier over time, I guess.
Yeah.
So part of my general criticism of the episode was that it's not really only that. The ambassador guy. I don't remember his fucking name. He's got a really weird name.
Alcar.
Viggo Mortensen.
Alcar.
Yeah, Alcar.
Honestly, I think he looks more like Christian Slater.
So it's not just him.
Oh, I can see that too.
It's not just him that's misogynist. I think the writing is misogynist.
Yes.
Because it all manifests as when women feel bad, they are jealous about men with to each other.
Yes.
And that seems to be the only way this writer knew how to manifest how to write a really negative woman.
I mean, also, I think the general like idea of targeting women was just kind of a given to this writer.
Yeah,
like, it was just an assumption.
Yeah, and it's so the writer is Frank Abate Marco. I think that's how you say his name. And this is the first script he ever wrote for TNG. Before this, he was just a supervising producer. And I think he actually started this
season. It shows.
Yeah. This was his first script? Oh.
Yeah. And
sorry, buddy.
It sort of shows in the sense that, we're getting slightly ahead, I kind of get the central crux of the episode. It's basically, it's like a lamer version of the ones who walk away from Omelas. Have you guys ever heard of that short story?
No.
It's by Ursula K. Le Guin. And it's basically, imagine a city that is pure paradise. It can be literally anything. Even in the short story, it says,
like the Guns N' Roses fucking song?
Yeah, just imagine it's paradise, the perfect...
Paradise, down to the paradise sea, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Yeah, just imagine it's the perfect
hell
city.
Yeah, dude.
Like the perfect... And
so no green one, like, grass, basically pretty like, girls.
Got it. So basically like Tampa Bay. Florida
and
Tampa Bay.
it's literally such a paradise that no matter what you could think of as your own version of paradise, that's what it is. Even in the short story itself, it describes itself as that. But the only way this society can sustain itself,
got it, Sacramento, California, locked in.
So the only way this society can sustain itself is by forever torturing one small child, forever.
Worth it. Oh. Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry, and then that's why but some people who in the society who learn the truth, figure out a way to cope with it mentally and go, okay, well, it's worth it, so we'll stay. But some don't. And those are the ones who walk away from Omelas. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones.
So what happens when you walk away? You just don't get the paradise?
The story explicitly says we don't know. But
so what are your options? You're just walking into the void.
She literally describes it as the void. You don't know. But that's sort of the crux of this episode.
Okay, but it's unknown instead of nothingness, right?
But yeah, is it unknown. Will the child not get tortured if you walk into the void, or will this child be tortured anyway?
They have no way to change the situation. They simply walk away from Omelas.
They don't want to be a part of it.
They cannot participate in Omelas anymore.
It doesn't help. It doesn't bring an end to the child being tortured.
No, they simply walk away because they cannot participate in this anymore.
Okay.
Did this story inspire The Giver?
Interesting. Yeah.
Potentially.
Sounds somewhat similar in concept.
The ones who walk away from Omelas was written in the 70s. And I think by her own admission, she says she was inspired by someone else, but didn't realize it until afterward.
A version of this happens every day, all day with everything in society, so I don't know.
I mean, the story is essentially sort of a critique on what sort of negative things in society are we willing to put up with in order to feel comfortable, right?
I mean, we're pretty much at the end of, we've exhausted all options here on Earth, I think.
But this is the crux of the story of Man of the People. It's like, is it worth killing, sucking the souls out of all these women in order to foster peace between warring factions? You know,
he argues to Picard that, like, hey, I'm just hurting this one person versus like saving thousands of people a day.
But then the problem is that that's a fine concept to explore, but then it's mixed in with this weird undercurrent of misogyny throughout the whole text, which makes it kind of hard to reconcile with, because it's not just misogyny with the character. It's misogyny with the writer himself and the way he's writing the women. And I think it's interesting. Brandon Braga really did not like this episode. And he actually talked about this in, there's a book that came out called Captain's Log.
I'm sorry, who is Brandon?
Brandon Braga. He's one of the main writers of Star Trek, TNG, and Deep Space Nine, and would go on to write a bunch of stuff. And Captain's Logs, The Unauthorized Complete Star Trek Voyages, is a book that collects a lot of these. And one of them, he said, was, I would have done it differently. I would have made a darker and much more story about Troy's dark descent from the psychological point of view. A scene we all wanted to see was Troy giving therapy to a young ensign, but make it twice as long and twice as dark as the one that was filmed and make it much more of a Hannibal Lecter thing. This was a case where Frank Abbademarco saw a different show. He was focusing in on the show as a prime directive issue and looking at the character of the guy who was using Troy as a receptacle. To me, that was the utterly incorrect instinct. I love this line. After 6 years, who cares about prime directive issues? It's a Star Trek cliche. It should have been all about Troy, and he would have been the catalyst in two brief scenes. The first three acts were still fun. It was enjoyable to see Troy acting strange and dressing in skimpy outfits. There were some arguments in the structuring sessions. Ultimately, Frank was the writer, and he was given the opportunity to do it the way he wanted to do it, and it suffered because he was new to the show.
Damn. Tell me you hate your coworker without telling me you hate your coworker. Jesus Christ.
It really does demonstrate that it's his first like try of doing a Star Trek story, and he falls into a lot of the same pitfalls, and also brings in his own weird brand of misogyny.
So I'm actually, you mentioned the prime directive. Is the prime directive aspect of this episode the like don't do the autopsy thing? Like what is the aspect?
Yeah, there's a part of it.
Like I don't understand how that comes into play here at all.
Well, that's one of them. The other is don't interfere with the negotiation.
Oh, okay. Like, don't interrupt him. Okay, that's a stretch, but okay.
They're also framing the, you know, the ones who walk away from Omalos comparison as the also a prime directive question. Is like, is it worth interfering with this, what they consider to be a good idea?
So basically just be like, it's none of our business.
Yeah, which, you know, as we know, they emphatically disagreed, everybody.
Well, at their convenience.
Yes, at their convenience. Once everything was done, let's...
I mean, really, they only care... Everyone only really cares when it happens to someone you care or love, right? Like, they didn't give a fuck. They probably wouldn't have looked twice into, like, why that old lady was acting all weird. Like, they were like, oh, she's just...
Yes,
old.
Actually, yes, that's true. That's actually absolutely true. If Deanna wasn't dying and they didn't think the symptoms were related, they would have been like, okay, we'll leave it at that. And
I mean, everyone was just like, yeah, the old lady's kind of off her rocker. No one like looked into it and was like, hey, like, I don't know, something up there.
Well, like, Beverly was kind of like, she was curious about it and wanted to do the autopsy just cause
I think,
well,
I think,
well, she, you
I
know
think
why she wanted to do the autopsy.
I think she wanted
well,
not
she was morbidly curious. She no, was like, no, no, I kind of no. want to take a look.
She wanted a notch in her belt to say, I killed another one. Maybe, you know,
this is the part that I thought, I mean, Sarah and I both thought this is weird. Why do they need to in this future still do a physical slice, open a body autopsy?
Yeah.
No idea.
That seems so odd. One solution I thought of is, why don't you transport the dead body? Doesn't the act of transporting a body create like a
bioprint or whatever?
Yeah, some sort of like scan of the body. Therefore, you could more look at it. I don't know why, because you have to recreate the body in a different location, right? Isn't that a scan?
I just think at this point, I thought we would have moved past autopsies.
You wouldn't think that'd be necessary in this
movie. I think we would have moved past knives as assault weapons.
That's true.
But it's like a ceremonial knife, so...
Whatever. This episode sucks.
You think we would have opted out of autopsies?
Autopsies?
All right. So this is what's happening, guys.
Autopsies.
Basically, look, this is a five fucking star fucking episode, dude. This is a shit episode with like three cool scenes. So
wait, so when you say five, what do you mean? Like when you said five stars, so it's making me like doubt the scale.
Five starships.
Like 5 out of 10.
Okay. Because like if you say five stars alone, usually that's pretty high.
Yes, yeah. But in our rating scale, that's an F.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an F.
Oh, okay. See, I thought you were using it as like the colloquial, like fucking stars, you know, like Yelp.
Five ratings. Diamonds. That's five diamonds. but anyway, so let's get to it, because this episode is boring and it only had some cool, there were like three cool scenes.
To be fair, I personally wouldn't say it was boring. I would just say it was bad.
It was bad and boring, dude.
Wait, I have a question. Do we ever see what these two fighting species look like?
No, we only see what one of them look like.
Yeah, you don't need to know.
And again, it's just a little bit of paint on their head.
Yeah.
No. No. I thought that was the negotiating party. I didn't think that was one of them. No, he's not part of it.
Oh, wait, you're right. No. Yeah, that's not one. They're not one of them. Yeah. Wow.
So we never see, because there's the negotiating parties with the little tattoo on their spiderweb tattoos on their head. I thought that was just the negotiating
it's
just party.
It's like dinosaurs in a room. That's
but
what
then
they
there's
were.
Like this two is... separate species.
Yeah, it was a different. Yeah. It was a different. Yeah,
but we never see them.
No, they didn't have time.
Not important.
Not important.
That's the least important part of the episode. The actual negotiation.
This is the Madam Web of fucking Star Trek episode. So many things happen, yet it's not good.
Oh my God, you're not even wrong. A lot happens, but nothing happens.
Nothing happened. Nothing at all happened.
These are the cool scenes. Nipples through fucking nightgown. Yes. Ready? Two. Troy fucks a rando from a fucking elevator.
And makes Riker annoyed by it.
Three. Yeah. They voodoo an old man and he dies at the end.
I like that the therapy scene with the woman when she tells her that she needs
devastates
to, like,
that ensign.
Fuck up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's so amazing. Yeah.
But it also feels completely like uncalled for coming from Deanna.
Well, she's under that.
She's not one to talk.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Complete wrong person to give any such speech.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good coming from her.
Yeah, yeah. So let's. Ah, fuck.
Dude. But also, the person she was talking to was named Janeway.
Yeah. I always thought, is she related to some degree to Captain Janeway?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, but I guess there's no official, like, anything.
It's almost certainly just a coincidence.
Just incidental.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know.
Jane? I don't know. What way? So, basically, they have the great papers of fucking Deanna and Riker. They have to go.
They're doing employee evaluations.
Yeah. Which is stupid that it's the future and they're still doing that, dude.
They're doing it really manually and they're doing it between the second in command and the therapist. I don't think the therapist should be allowed to be part of employee evaluations given doctor-patient confidentiality, right? Yeah. Like, that's not something you're supposed to
do. Seems wrong, dude.
Yeah. These are not their laws anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, so they're green peepers and she's a little horned up overall. They get news that the fucking old lady dies. The dude's mom dies, right?
Yes.
And so they're like, oh, the old mom died. And then fucking Viggo Mortensen's like, hey, oh, I gotta mourn my fucking mom.
Help me mourn my mom.
Yeah. Will you pray with me with these crystals? And immediately I'm like, don't touch those fucking crystals.
Those are bad crystals.
They're dirty and you don't trust people. Viggo's Mortensen's
came out of out of a weird, like, coffin box.
Yeah. Don't touch crystals that came out of a coffin box, dude.
Yeah. Don't touch
And she holds them and she immediately starts to get the bad vibes, dude.
And he's speaking his own weird language and it's like, oh God.
Yeah. In that's a way, right. He kind of does voodoo to her. And see, that's where my head was going, because I thought when this house lady, old lady came on board, I thought it was going to be like the movie Skeleton Key. Where I'm going to spoil the movie, so hold on to your butts.
Okay.
They do. So it turns out that because there's this old fuck. All right. It turns out at the end that they were doing voodoo. It was an old voodoo couple that had been transferring from body to body for generations.
Okay.
And and you didn't know that this one dude who you thought was an old dude.
Uh huh.
He had a young man's soul that they had stole the body from already, and he was trying to get out. And the guy, anyway, Peter Sarsgaard was like the guy who had done the voodoo already, and they had traded souls. And the whole time he's thinking, oh, this old lady's creepy. This old man is creepy and shit and trying to like be weird. But he was just trying to tell her, hey, I'm the young man. We're soul switches.
Okay.
So I thought that's what was going to happen here.
They did a soul transfer.
A soul transfer. And I'm like,
soul transfer.
It took a while, man.
I know, dude. I went the long way around.
This is a soul transfer movie. That's all we needed to know.
And I thought, who's the other? So who's the young person? Like, you have the old person who's ranting.
So you thought they soul transferred. Okay.
Yeah. So I was looking for who's another young woman who has now, you mean, who's switched.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I thought they were going to use Troy as a young woman then. I was like, oh, they're going to soul switch with her. And even when they did the crystal thing, I was like, oh, he just put the fucking old lady's fucking soul into her. That's what I thought.
Actually, I thought that too. That was my initial thought as well. He brought his mom like back to life from the dead.
That was my first thought. Nope. Is it Nope? Nope. What's the other movie?
No, it was Get Out.
Get Out. I thought she was in the sunken place. I thought she was going to put her in the sunken place.
I thought like from, you know, The Mummy when he does
the Mummy with Tom Cruise?
No, with Brandon Fraser, the original.
No, the better one.
The awesome Mummy. Where like, you know, like the scene where he brings his lover back to life from like, Knocks in a moon, that's what kind of reminded me of like the
Yeah, like I got ritual. Faked out by the mirror scene.
Yeah.
Because like
yeah.
when she starts feeling herself up in the mirror, it's like, this doesn't feel like it's usually Deanna. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, are they implying that there's another entity in her now?
Yeah. Yeah. That could be like the someone's Get Outed and they're like, oh man, I'm in a sexy body now.
Yes,
yeah, basically, exactly. I thought it was one of those sorts of scenes where it's like, oh, check it out, my boobs are pricky again. And
I thought he had seen Skeleton Key. Also, you know what a great fucking song choice? Goodbye Horses by Q Lazarus. He's like, oh yeah. She's like, look in the mirror. I'd fuck me. Would you fuck me? You know, she does the whole Silence of the Lamb thing. So anyway, so immediately she gets the bad vibes from Viggo Mortensen. Mm-hmm. And she starts kind of acting really weird, dude. And she should have known that coffin box where the crystals came from looks just horrible, dude.
It also like created like a huge energy flash and she felt it go into her and then she just was like, well,
didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, she seemed like really like taken aback and affected in that moment, but she that was like a one-off reaction, didn't do anything.
But also okay, the other thing is I understand she's going nuts, right? I understand it's affecting her emotions, right?
Yeah.
Does it affect her intellect? Does she become an idiot? Like, why wouldn't she think?
We can only assume.
Because, like, why wouldn't she think that this thing did something to her?
Well, the thing is that it keeps tricking us, dude, this episode, because she looks in the mirror the first time and she's checking, like, what I now realize is that she was checking and she was noticing wrinkles already and, like, dark circles.
Right. Yeah, that's why. I thought
the old lady was like, oh, look at this tight skin. Oh, yeah, I'd fuck me, you know, like that type of, you know what I mean? But now, with the context of seeing the episode, like, now it makes sense, but I'm like, oh, she had lines on her face and wrinkles that she was noticing now.
Mm.
But anyway, so they can't do the autopsy on the old lady because he's like,
it's religious. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's religious. Yeah, religious freedoms. Too many religious freedoms in fucking Star Trek, dude. and she starts doing Tai Chi in her fucking bedroom. Troy does by herself, and she fucking starts touching herself. I got worried, dude. I was like, they're going to show her boobs. I thought.
Have you guys, you know, this, the mirror scene where she's like touching herself?
Yeah, that's the scene I'm talking about.
Do you guys know the song, the tweet song with Missy Elliott, the Oops, I Touched Myself? And it's like it's basically a song about, you know, exactly what you're seeing here, like looking at yourself in the reflection in the mirror and like you're looking so hot, you're like touching yourself. I don't know. Anyway, this, I could just imagine this scene with that song underneath it. And it was the most, like, that's what you guys have to, okay, I'll link you the song after. Very much that energy,
whatever you're describing it, that's akin to this for sure.
And I just want to let the people know, tweet, Oops is the perfect soundtrack for this scene of Deanna touching herself in the mirror.
Tweet.
Tweet.
You want them to tweet us?
Yeah. Tweet. Also tweet us.
Tweet is the artist.
Oh.
Is the artist of the song. So yeah, that's all I kept thinking of when I saw this scene.
So you saw that scene. I saw Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
We saw very different things.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Buffalo Bill just fucking going, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. She goes to his room. Viggo Mortensen's, and she's down. She's down to clown, you know? She's down to fuck, dude. DTF. And he's like, no, I can't, dude. I can't. This must not be done, dude. And I mean, that's interesting. That's interesting that he didn't do it because he could have. But do you think do you think that like being sexual was one of the bad thoughts he had?
I think there's two things going on. I think in the in-story narrative, it can be explained the way you're talking about it, which is that he got rid of everything negative, including his desire to have sex. Mm-hmm. To me, though,
Well, like lust is a sin.
Yes.
Like it's a very traditional Christian form of evil.
But to me, again, this is where the misogynist writing comes back in, because it's the woman lusting after the man and being like, oh man, I gotta fuck you. And the man being the virtuous one and being like, no, we shouldn't do that. Despite the fact that this man is like,
you know what, you're right.
I can see it both ways, Marvin. I can see it both ways.
I think it's both. I think it's both simultaneously. I think he wrote it that way, but his unintentional subtext is that he's showing off his misogynist roots.
He knows how to write women. When she gets done with these evaluations, she's going to have two Sundays.
Two Sundays.
Two of them.
I'm going to treat myself to two ice cream Sundays.
Hell yeah.
That'll shut her up.
It's funny. Everyone agreed this was a bad script. Like, even the director, Winward Colby, he was like, you know, given the bad script, we ended up making a pretty decent show.
Why did they let this guy have... No one was like, hey, man, try again. So I know this is your first thing, but like,
so let's just... I can't explain why it was delayed. It was delayed. It has something to do with the next episode. But something about the next episode delayed the production schedule. So this episode was actually written super fast. This is probably why Frank Abbatamarco was given the script to write, because they were like, we need another script right away. Every other writer's busy. Can you just write this one real quick?
What's the writer's name?
Frank Abbatamarco. I think that's how you say his name. So,
Well, now like I feel bad for him. It sounds like they set him up.
Well, yeah, but like another component of the story is that according to, I think, Memory Alpha, they said that they, quote, gang banged the script. Because they broke up every piece and had to write a piece each.
Oh right.
And then they Frankensteined it together, and I think the main writer had to piece it together.
That's a great way to write a script.
That's a great way to describe writing a script, because we all use the descriptors gangbangs nowadays.
I use it all the time. It's like, hey,
I need the canceled button for you right now.
I'm like, if someone says, hey, I gotta move, and it's a close friend, I'm like, hey, do you want to gangbang this move, dude?
Gang, you're canceled. Canceled. Yep. Exactly. You can't say that.
So the next scene is she's all horned up and angry, dude, because she turned him down, and she's like, and she goes into the elevator.
Would you guys have turned her down?
Probably. Dude,
if I'm free from sin?
Did you say probably? You would have turned her down?
Something is committed. Something, but I would, in my mind, something is different.
In my mind, yeah, well, here's the thing, Sarah, you're putting no context into this question. Like, am I the dude? Am I Riker?
No, you're Riker. Riker.
I'm Riker. I know something's wrong, and I
Riker knew something was wrong as well. That's why Riker was like, whoa, what's going on?
Okay, you know? Okay. I would have been like, oh, a little role play. All right.
Because he was never jealous. He was like, he's proved it over and over. The only time
he looked a little jealous when he walked in on that guy.
He wasn't jealous, dude. The only time he was jealous was when she was going to get married to T-Bag, but that's because she was going to get married.
Okay, so if you guys were elevator guy then.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah.
Oh, elevator guy is just like, whoa, Deanna Troy suddenly into me. Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And she's just dressed in a karate gi.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, oh, okay.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, can you get in trouble? Is that like a conflict of interest if you fuck the counselor?
Nobody gets in trouble for fucking anyone on the ship. That's never been an issue.
Oh,
like that's
okay.
If you're down a clown, you're down a good down.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So elevator
down
dude,
like town.
Yeah, elevator dude fucks her.
Elevator guy is not bad looking. He's not.
Well, that's
bad.
Why she was into him. She was like, yeah, you'll do.
Yeah. And the next scene, Riker goes to her room to finish those evaluations and get the second Sunday, you know, of the day. She opens the door and she is, high beams are on. She's wearing like the thinnest fucking fabric in the world, dude.
Yeah. And on set day must have been very interesting.
Yeah, and Riker thinks like, oh, I might get lucky. He's smiling ear to ear
like right away. He's like,
yeah, he loves it. At first, he's really into this.
Yeah.
But he knows something's wrong immediately because it's not jealousy. I think in my heart that it's not jealousy. That I think that he's like, oh, if you knew this was going to be happening, you should just told me, like, stop me at the door. Like, oh, hey, could you come back in like 10 minutes? They know each other so well enough.
I think Breiker was probably like, why are you being so flippant about this? You never have been flippant about this before in this way. Yeah. That's weird. And he's trying to brush it off by just being professional. And she's clearly trying to not be professional.
Being professional by, let's do evaluations in your room. Like, I don't know.
Which is also weird, yeah. But it's possible that she called.
Apparently that's where they agreed to meet.
It's possible that she asked.
He was also willing to carry on doing the evaluations in a professional way while she's wearing this, like, super skimpy outfit. I was like, oh my God. Imagine if you're a coworker, you show up to their thing and they're just wearing this, like, thin piece of cloth. And you're like, all right, so what are we going to give this officer as a grade? I
mean, if you're professional, yeah, you would do your job.
I guess so, but
yeah, you have no choice.
Come on, Sarah.
It was just funny.
Not everybody's horned up, dude.
It's like I can't focus.
So immediately the guy gets up and he's like, "Oh, sir, yes, sir. I was only here. I was inspecting this the mattress. The tag says that it needs to be replaced." And so he leaves and he gets his shoes and he gets the fuck out of there. And he immediately knows something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like something's off. And basically, like, she's kind of trying to get a rise out of him or something. And
yes.
Yeah. She's like, are you bothered by him being here? And he's like, no, yeah. I'm not. He's like, no. It's all good. It's none of my business.
And so he leaves. He's like, I'll be back. I'll be back later, dude. I'm going
to
go.
I'll be back when you're ready to do some work.
I was here to work and look at your nipples, but now I'm gonna leave.
Well, it's not fun anymore.
You made it weird. You made it weird.
You made it weird. You made it weird.
Yeah. And so the next scene, she's got an appointment with Janeway, and she's like, basically like, shut the fuck up, stop complaining, or get the fuck out of the ship, dude. Basically, what it comes down to. That's it. So she's like, okay.
Which also, like, she's not 100% wrong, but
yeah.
I mean, there's a gentler way to say
yes.
I mean, also, if there's any space in which to vent frustrations, like that's supposed to be the space.
It is to the therapist. Yes, but also, like, it's, you know, he's an asshole. It's fine. Like,
yeah,
you know, just ignore him.
That's actually terrible advice. Honestly, that's actually terrible advice. Don't listen to Marvin. Holy shit.
Please don't.
Well, it's like, but to be fair, it's like, you're not sure why it is entirely from the perspective of, oh, he must be picking on me. And it's like, yeah, we don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, considering the way she told the story, that sounds a little odd.
It sounds like he's like,
sounds like he was holding her to unreasonable standards.
Yeah, I agree.
I felt for her
as well. I think her talking about it in therapy is very valid.
All right. That's valid.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I still work with people.
Yeah, dude.
Look, you idiots. Know why Marvin can't relate? Because Marvin's fucking perfect. That's why. He doesn't get criticized. Just kidding. You are pretty perfect, though. Pretty perfect at your job.
I would disagree.
Right, Ricardo?
I work with him, and I would disagree.
Yeah, Ricardo would know.
Yeah, Ricardo would know, I guess, more than I, if he's good.
Ricardo did yell at me a lot.
Wow, okay.
Well, and at the wall.
I mean, I just yell in general.
Right, God damn it, Marvin. Yeah. I told you this wasn't right. You can't do anything. I'm fixing all of your mistakes.
It was always interesting, like, when new people would arrive, because Marvin would sneeze and you'd hear, like, shut the fuck up, Marvin.
It's
oh my
true.
God, wait, are you talking about Marvin sneezing?
Yes, it's true.
It's so fucking loud.
Yeah.
It's so fucking loud.
We were the whole room would never say bless you. It would always be like,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
I mean, I understand that, because when Marvin sneezes, it scares the fuck out of me. You can ask Marvin. Like, I'm always just like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, this is, it's very startling. I don't like how loud.
Is it a cultural thing? Because mine is an age thing. Mine is an age thing, dude.
Is it a cultural? Koreans culturally just sneeze really loud.
You know what? I feel like
I don't
there's
know.
Potential
Maybe.
For such a difference to occur.
Here's it's the thing, very though. Loud, though. It's very loud.
I have a large lung capacity. Oh, that's no. why.
Come Here's on. The thing, Marvin.
I've actually gone
Weird
to the hospital.
Flex, but okay.
To check for, because I had to check my asthma symptoms.
He's
so that's
he's
a flex, I guess.
That's a Donald Trump flex, dude. I went to the doctors. They said the biggest lungs they've ever seen, the they best did, lungs.
So big, beautiful lungs.
Big, beautiful lungs.
I can suck a lot of air in. Yeah.
The lungs of a 17-year-old.
You have exercise-related asthma because it's not about your lung capacity. Your lung capacity is actually pretty good. It's just you have exercise-related asthma. So that's what the doctor
It's not said. About the size of the lung. It's the yeah. age of the lung.
It's about whether yeah, the lungs yeah. have asthma or not.
Yeah.
It's how you use them, dude. It's yeah. the motion of the lungs.
Yeah, exactly. The motion.
But,
of the
but I think that's why my sneezes are really loud. It's because.
Well, it scares also, me.
Also,
scares
I,
me. Well, it's loud. It's as loud as your hiccups. Your hiccups scare the shit out of me. Like,
what is she like?
This is literally a Sarah hiccup. I'll literally do it. Just out quiet, out of nowhere, and suddenly. That's a hiccup. I'm not even joking.
That's not true.
That is literally what it sounds like.
Maybe one day we'll catch it on. We'll
Dan,
catch it
you
on
saw this in person on one of our trips, and you were like, "Wow, I remember you saying that."
Oh my god.
Oh well, wow. I mean, I get weird ass singular giant hiccups myself,
but not like Sarah. I have heard your hiccups like that in person, but not.
It Sarah's, cannot compare to
it will,
your sneezes.
It will scare the cats.
All right. Maybe I need to get close enough to you first.
Oh, my God. Wait, we got it. Did we talk? We didn't mention the cat scratch.
Oh, yeah. No, well, that's before. That's after 10 forward.
Yeah.
10
oh,
forward
yeah,
scene's
that's
coming
right,
up.
That's yeah. right.
So,
that's
okay,
right.
So Troy comes into 10 forward and her hair's gray. She looks kind of like, you know what she looks like? She looks like the girl from My Big Fat Greek Wedding in this one.
Yeah, I can agree.
A tiny bit.
She said she was channeling Anne Bancroft, Mrs. Robinson. That's what she claimed she was channeling in this scene. And
she comes in and she's complaining to Viggo Mortensen and the new lady that Viggo's going to take on.
Yeah, he's
next.
Targeting she another lady right away.
And yeah. and she puts a cleavage right in her face and she's like, "You better stay away, dude. Yeah. I will fucking tear you down, dude. I eat turds like you for breakfast." And then the lady was like, "You eat turds for breakfast?"
Yeah.
And then Riker takes her away to her room. And then when they're in the room, she tries to kiss him. She tries to kiss him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she does kiss him.
Yeah, she goes like, how about you and me instead?
Yeah. And then she scratches the shit out of him, dude.
Yeah. Big old cat scratch right on his face. Yeah. And he goes, like, what is this? And then he runs out of the room.
Blood.
Okay, here's the stupid part that clearly another symptom of it being written really fast. So after that scene, a whole next day happens and Alcar comes to visit Troy. Troy's now old, right? So that means night has turned to day, right? Mm-hmm. After that scene, you then see Riker in sick bay getting his scratches healed.
Yeah.
The scratches still look fresh. Why would he have not gone to sickbay right away to get the scratches fixed? And why would the scratches still be fresh?
He was busy, dude. Fresh. He was busy, dude.
Yeah, the scratches looked really cool, so he used them to pick up some more chicks.
And you can't say, oh, it's like just out of order, because he says, what happened last night? What the fuck?
Look, Riker has a weak immune system.
Yeah. Look, don't
He's just
think
not
about
very
it.
Good. He hasn't been having much vitamin D
clearly
lately.
The writer didn't think about it either. So
don't think about it too deeply.
Yeah, the scratches were very deep, though.
So before the scratches get fixed, the Viggo Mortensen goes to see Deanna, and she's aged even more, dude.
Yeah, she's now full hag. Yeah.
Yeah, and she kind of looks a little bit like the, she gives me like the Fly vibes. Remember The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
I don't know what part of this.
That's when, the second episode in The Rogue with The Fly in it.
What aspect of The Fly?
When like he starts losing his ear and like.
Oh.
A little bit.
Well, that's just because, as usual, elderly makeup in the show is like monster makeup.
I know. So.
Yet they won an award for it.
I know.
No one is willing to tell them it's awful. How come no one was brave enough to tell them it was
it's
awful?
It's good, I guess.
People are scared, dude. And so Viggo Mortensen has to go down and negotiate now.
Also, getting older makes you like brown-haired instead of black-haired, I guess.
You don't worry about that, dude. All right. and so he's about to go, and fucking Deanna shows up with a knife, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like single white female style, dude. And she's like, and like Chucky a little bit, too, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
In the Spanish version of Chucky.
She doesn't have a phaser.
No, yeah, she wanted it to be personal with a ceremonial knife.
I like I like the yelling from Troy. Like,
yeah. Also, she does a lot of good yelling in this episode. Like when he leaves and he's like, "You can't, I'm not taking you with me." She runs back into her room and just yells,
Into the camera. Over the top.
Yeah. And then she shanks fucking Picard a little bit, dude. She cuts him.
Yeah, Picard gets hurt. Yeah,
poor Picard.
but it's also like he's like, oh, it's just superficial. But then later when they didn't think about the script, that he treats him and he goes, it's stiff. Well, that implies you got hurt really bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not superficial. But
he didn't say what's stiff, though.
He was just acting tough in front of everyone to
Frank.
Look cool.
That's true. Frank. I was going to tell the doctor. I was going to call you Frank. Marvin. Marvin. Frank. He didn't say what was stiff, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he is so, with Beverly. So
yeah, he's like, these robes are very stiff in my crotchal area. It feels like I have warm Earl Grey tea.
And also, what if he's criticizing her her repair job? Like, hey, like,
oh yeah, she did.
Oh yeah, it's stiff.
Well, dude, you made it stiffer than it should have been.
That's fine, I guess. She's like, how are you feeling? He's like, I guess I'll walk it off. I don't know.
You've over-tightened my shoulder.
You've over-tightened my shoulder, but...
She's like, I did a little tune-up while I was in there.
It's a little stiff, but sure.
Thanks. Just fucked it up.
So by this time, like, Deanna has found... not Deanna. Beverly has found out what's going on, basically.
Yes.
And she tells Jean-Luc Picard, and they go down to meet Vigo, and they're like, hey, you can't fucking do this, dude. You're a piece of shit, dude. And he's like, dude, he's like, there's one train and two train tracks, dude. And one side is Deanna, and the other side is like the Palestine and fucking Israel, dude. And I'm trying to save him. You kill one Deanna, and we fucking have peace, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but you can't. It's wrong, dude.
I thought of that experiment too when I was thinking about this.
The trolley problem.
Exactly, because that's a famous.
It's technically different from the trolley problem because the trolley problem is whether you're willing to take responsibility.
No, it's not. He said thousands versus, you know.
Well, the trolley problem is whether you're willing to take responsibility for one murder or watch a bunch of other murders.
I feel like that's the I don't know.
That's a slightly different quandary, but you can compare. Yeah, you can make a comparison.
Well, actually, Alcar is someone who already chose his answer for the trolley problem, and he chose to pull the lever.
Yes.
He chose to kill the one person in order to save more people.
He constantly chooses to pull the lever.
Yes.
And that's how I saw it, is he's like, well, I'd rather just make one person suffer versus thousands of people.
Although, to me... So. What that really means is he's a bad negotiator, because we've had other negotiators who didn't. We've had a fucking deaf negotiator who can't even hear, who was doing way better than this guy.
Like, that's the way you said we've had tons of negotiators is my exact problem with this episode. We have had tons of negotiators, and I don't give a crap about them anymore.
Tell you what, Picard is a negotiator.
Probably Picard could have done a better job.
Yeah,
than this
Picard
asshole.
Has stepped in to fill in for multiple negotiators, and he's done a damn good job. We've done this with Sarek. We've done this with Beverly's Worm Man.
Oh my god, dude. Yes. It's we don't Worm need man. This asshole.
Worm Man.
Yes.
Fighter of the Worm Man.
Just so too much.
The next scene is like, hey, they figure out, like, okay, Beverly's number one fucking plan is like, we kill fucking Deanna. Kill Deanna Troy. We kill her. And he's
she
like,
immediately she's went
like,
to death.
She's like, hear me out, guys. And they're like, what? And he's like, hear me out first.
You want to kill
Deanna.
Don't you?
We kill Deanna. They're like, what?
And Picard really wished that they had actually said, you want to kill her, don't you?
Picard responds, every solution you have is to kill her. It's always to kill her.
Beverly the answer to everything.
But then she goes, she's like, oh, don't worry, we can bring her back in 30 minutes. Like, it's fine.
Your Picard accent sounded like the young kid in Bloodsport that's playing the young Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Wait, what?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The young kid that
damn. If only I had that clip in my head, then I could lean into it.
Young Jean-Claude. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the kid was trying to do like a weird like French Canadian.
He was
accent.
Trying to copy Jean-Claude as if he was young, and it's hard because Jean.
I'm gonna send it to you.
Why did Beverly go to death? Instead of exploring ways to like sever the mental connection.
Yeah.
But why did it have to be death? Why don't they they sneak into his quarters, find the crystals and go, oh, these crystals probably did it. Let's break these crystals. Maybe that'll
stop. I thought you were about to say, why don't we sneak into his quarters and beat him with a bunch of pillowcases filled with soap bars?
That would have been my fucking thing, dude.
Why don't we walk into the negotiations and just start beating the shit out of him in front of the two warring factions?
Yeah.
That might
unite in front of a common enemy.
Yeah, if they were all like, we all can settle our differences by beating the shit out of this one guy.
Yeah, like we can all have peace if we just beat the shit out of this guy forever.
Dude, they should have said this, dude. Picard should have said this when Viggo Mortensen was telling him like it's worth it to kill Deanna. He should have said, fine, I'm gonna have both these fucking countries just go to town on you, dude. And they're gonna relieve their stress and then they're gonna leave in peace, dude. Do you like that? That's what they should have done. But anyway, so they come up with a stupid fucking plan, dude. A very stupid plan. They're gonna kill Deanna.
She knows that she has exactly 30 minutes for some reason.
I would not trust her with that.
This is very well written.
They have to lower her midichlorians to 300.
Yeah,
they
got
to lower her midichlorine level to 300.
Yes,
and then they can wake her up.
Yeah, then they have the arbitrary like, no, it has to be below 300 before we can. Yeah.
So they're like, and then we beam up Viggo and the girl. Mm-hmm. And then he's gonna try to put his soul in her again, you know what I mean? And then we'll zoom her out of here, dude.
Yeah,
and like done. Let's do it. So they do it. They beam him up. They kill fucking thing, and they put on a show like, oh, she's dying. And then he's like, oh, he feels it. Because when he's leaving the negotiation that he just did, he faints. He's like, oh, my legs.
Oh.
I have the vapors.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, the link. So they go up there and he's like, I got to get my crystals. I got to get me hands on the crystals.
Yes.
So he leaves the infirmary and they go and he's like, he tells the girl. And you know this is only a Viggo thing because she didn't know anything about that. She's like, we should mourn fucking... the sexy lady that's now.
Oh, yeah, we got to mourn her right away.
Yeah, come on. Right away. Let me get my coffin. And he gets his little fucking fetus coffin and he gives her the fucking crystals. And she says, hold my nuts here. And she holds her and he starts going, Unam Shabab, Unam Shabab, Unam Shabab. And fucking, and she, and his, and
she starts
at the same time, they lower the middle chlorine to 300 and they fucking wake her up. They're like, boom. And she's fucking young again. And she's like, bam, big old tits.
Which is why would this age her and then de-age her?
And then because age him.
Needs, Marvin,
needs,
why
does
it
age him? Young. He needs the young. Juice.
You don't need to know about that, dude. You don't even know what that. And then they zap the girl out of there at the same time. And he gets stuck with both stones, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's holding his fucking balls in his hand.
He's got no birds, both stones.
And he gets all the bad vibes and he gets really old really fast because he doesn't know. He's been without bad vibes for so long. He doesn't know how to deal with it. He's got big feelings. And so he gets really old and he just collapses, dude.
And he dies.
Yeah.
Does everyone in this species die with the T-Rex arms?
I guess so.
Yeah. Is that just how they die?
It's called Mitch McConnell arms.
Not until the kindergarten.
And then the last scene is fucking Deanna and fucking Riker. And
Riker's like, well, I'm going to do an exposition dump to explain for you, for the audience.
He's let me tell you, dude, you're back. Your hair's black again. You got big old tits, dude. And we should kiss.
We're going to make out.
And they're like, let's kiss.
We should cuddle.
Yeah.
We're gonna
and they have like durian there, and it's gonna get really stinky, dude.
Dip durian, you mean?
Yeah. And on the table, they have like tomatoes and persimmons.
They have space fruits. Yeah, they have a bunch of random space fruits.
It's gonna get stinky in there, dude. Yeah. And they have kale or like sage.
It looks like dragon fruit, so they're gonna really go to the bathroom once they eat that. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta get all the bad vibes out.
I love. Did we talk about when Worf's just like, "Sir, he's fucking dead." Oh,
yeah.
That's one of the best parts of the episode. Yeah. What he the dude collapses dead on the floor in front of him. Worf doesn't even touch him and goes, "Sir, he's dead."
I love that.
Ah, he deserves.
Yeah.
Worf just seems annoyed.
Do you feel like he's on purpose?
Worf is fucking great. I love Worf. Yeah. I love Worf's like no nonsense. Like this guy's bullshit. Yeah. I hate this.
You know why? Because Worf probably knew from the jump something was fucked up.
Yeah, remember when Worf? Same thing was happening to Deanna. Someone was trying to steal Deanna's brain in the mind controller. Worf walks in, casually just smacks the shit out of the guy.
That's right. That's right.
Worf is always the hero. Good job.
Yeah. I love it. I love him. He's great, and he always knows what's up. In my opinion.
Yeah, if they gave him more lines in this episode, there probably would have been a line that said, Captain, I don't think we should let him have such full access to the entire ship. He seems sketchy.
Yeah, he would use that term.
Yeah, dude.
And sketchy people have no honor.
Yeah. The vibe with the mom is, the so-called mom is off, you know?
They should have said, like, the math doesn't add up here.
Yeah, the math is not mathing.
Well, he's so much older, and she's not old enough to have.
Like, how many times has the weirdo companion that comes on the ship with them, like, been a sign that something is wrong?
If we saw it coming, they should have saw it coming. I would have been like, oh no, mediator guy with old woman. Like, we've seen this story before.
The building blocks are already there. You should be like red alert right away.
Red alert. It should be like a red flag in your head that like something.
Not yellow, red.
They're like, oh, an ambassador's beaming aboard. Okay.
Phaser's out.
The ambassador beams aboard. Like, sir, the ambassador for some reason beamed aboard with a partner. Phaser's up. Red alert.
A partner who's like 90 years old and freaking out.
Send them to the brig right away.
As soon as she materialized, Worf should just punch. Just decked her.
Yeah,
in the
or
face,
should have just fucking smacked her to the floor.
Yeah.
And then broken the guy's arm.
Yes.
5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 for me.
I also give it a five out of ten. I actually would have rated it even lower were it not, honestly, for Marina Sirtis. I think one of the bright spots of the episode is that she gets a chance to shine. And I think I've said before,
in many ways.
I mean,
to shine, Marvin. Okay.
Well, I've said before, I think she's underrated as an actor, and I think she gets to show off more of her chops in this episode as well. I think she does a really good job
show off her chops.
Well, I think she does a really good job of like chewing the scenery. I think when she does it, it works. It works for the part. It's a side of
the
acting.
Scenery.
I wasn't looking at the scenery very much. You know what I mean?
Everything is a sex tundra.
Sex tundra.
I honestly don't know what scenery you're talking about, but I mean,
you don't know what scenery you're talking about.
But she did a great job. She's the standout.
What job?
The episode, obviously. You know
what job?
So because of that, if it wasn't for her performance, this would be 2 to 3
what
out of
performance?
10. But this is a 5 out of 10 because I think she does really well, honestly. Yeah.
I knock off half a point more.
Really?
4.5 for me.
4.5. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going with a 6 for sexy.
That's fair.
I mean, 6 is the sexiest number.
Yeah. Sex sells.
You know, obviously, it's no secret. She looks fantastic. And she also did a really good job. I liked this episode. I do like the deeper dives into the psychosis aspect. So I do agree with the writer you quoted before. I wish they kind of explored
Brandon
that
Braga,
a little bit more. I think
Ivan
that
Drago's
would've...
brother.
Yeah. Brandon Braga.
That would have made it a better episode for me. It does seem like it was poorly written.
It's definitely all the symptoms of a rushed script are here. It's you could easily see this fitting into the canon of like a season one episode, you know?
It doesn't belong in this season.
And what a canon.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, this is the most scantily clad I've seen Deanna.
Oh, so you've never seen her?
I'm not
going to
lie. I don't like her usually. I'm not a fan of her.
Of Marina Sirtis?
Of the character or like the, you know, I don't want to say it.
Well, I honestly think Marina Sirtis is a pretty good actor.
I think she's good. She has her moments for sure. And she shined in this episode, which I was happy to see. But yeah, also like they really, maybe they were like, this episode sucks. We need to put her in like less clothing to kind of distract away from sexy outfits.
It's what they decided to do. Try to like the director said, like they received a script that was honestly not great. And then they were like, well, let's do what we can to salvage it. Let's have some fun with it. And I think Marina Sirtis also was kind of like, I'll just have fun with it. I'm going to go nuts. And it kind of works.
Is she down to like have her breasts out like that on, like, I don't know.
If you've ever seen any of her canon films.
Okay. So she's okay with like, you know, because describe fun. That wouldn't be fun for me. But I mean,
there are some actors who are.
Other people are like, oh, yeah, I'm okay being, I'm comfortable. I mean, obviously she has a fine body to be comfortable in. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting if she was like really excited and not stressed.
Some people are like to just party, dude.
Yeah
some people are just what's her name, who plays Black Widow's sister and was in Midsommar, the lady, what's her name, blonde lady?
I don't know
that actor.
Jacqueline Kennedy?
No, Florence Pugh. So Florence Pugh is someone who's pretty comfortable just being nude. Like she doesn't mind. And that's, I think, kind of similar with Marina Sirtis, where it's, although Marina has gone on the record that when she was in canon films, they like didn't treat her well. And then just why she really liked being part of Star Trek. Star Trek, she felt like she was treated pretty well. So, you know, but I think she's also someone who's pretty comfortable with her sexuality and being, you know, able to flaunt being it and nude. All that. Yeah, and being nude and all that. So,
in public. Yeah.
I mean, in contexts like this.
Europeans don't care, dude.
Yeah,
we as Americans are really uptight.
She's like British and Greek, so she's
perhaps relevant to this conversation. I do recall reading on Memory Alpha that the director had to give her the only direction notes that he gave her that she needed to be more vamp sometimes,
which comes more across vamp in like the 10 forward scene and whatnot, where you know,
but okay, I can see that direction. I mean, yeah, it's. I give it a 6 for sexy, but needs improvement.
Oh, yeah. This it needs
it,
to.
It can't improve it because it came out in 92 and it's locked.
We need to unlock the episode and rewrite and re-edit it.
Go back, rewrite. Go back to the writer's room, reshoot.
Make it black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Release the Snyder cut of Man of the People.
Oh, yes. No. Oh, no.
Please.
Let's give it chapter title cards.
One by one. Hallelujah.
I was going to do that.
I love how like three different people simultaneously were thinking of going to that exact song.
You should have just fucking worst. It's the worst.
You should have just gone into song with me, dude.
I was too taken aback by the coincidence. Oh my god. Okay. Well, Man of the People. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you
wait, isn't that a wrestling phrase? Who's the Man of the People? Is that
The Rock, dude?
The Rock, right?
No. The Rock is the people.
The Rock is the people's champion.
Oh, the people's champion.
Yeah, and he just did everything.
Same thing.
Man of the People is like a politician's term.
Oh, I thought it was like, well, that could be a wrestler's like
Citizen Kane says he's a man of the people, etc. You know,
the people's champion's close enough. I think
Marvin, there's some translation of the WWF or E, whatever it's called. That is, it translates to the man of the people.
Okay.
The Rock. El hombre de la gente.
Interesting. Yeah. That's fascinating. See, I told you I wasn't completely off. Right. So this episode, aka The Rock, man of the people.
Wow.
Can you smell what the man of the people is cooking?
He's cooking something for everybody.
He has a large cookout.
Everyone is welcomed.
Boiled chicken.
The party is capped at 200, though.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, if you guys like what you've been listening to, maybe if you're on YouTube, or head on over to our YouTube channel and join the channel. That's different from subscribing, because if you join the channel for only $1.99, you get a month. You get early access to new episodes. You get them ad free. And eventually we're going to add other perks.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can't afford it, we totally understand. They're difficult times. Just subscribe to us. It's free.
Yeah, you can just subscribe or don't. Or do whatever you need or want to do. You know, that's all we can ask.
Hey, if you're European, let those fucking titties out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you do you. And also, if you guys ever want to send us an email, and we may read it out on the podcast, you can always email us at contact@newbiestartrek.com. That's contact@newbiestartrek.com. This week's email comes from Lily. And Lily says, "Hey, guys, I hope this email finds y'all well."
Lily had a really deep voice all of a sudden.
"Can you tell I used to live in Florida? In a past episode, it was mentioned that we never get to see a shot of sleeveless Data. Well, I was perusing around Pinterest, looking at old behind-the-scenes photos."
Yeah, sure. Pinterest, sure.
"And came across gold. It seemed necessary to share my wealth, since I love finding photos of the cast in regular clothes and with full makeup. Hope you enjoy." So I've just put that into our chat here.
Let's see this.
"P.S. I also found this bonus. I also found this bonus photo that proves Worf has a thing for Picard."
Okay. So,
oh my god, I love Geordi's expression. He's like, "Oh shit, Data, you're buff as shit, man." Yeah.
Look at like, those arms. He's like damn dog.
It seems like everyone that I find I this interesting this. So it seems like everyone, when they're not wearing their outer like suit, like jumpsuit,
they look buff.
They're wearing black shirts, so they're always wearing a black shirt underneath. It seems like.
Okay, so what's cool is the one with Jonathan Frakes here, where he's cheesing it up with Data. His arms don't have makeup on; it's just his hands. And
Marvin,
this is what
I suspect, that they wear this in case, like, if it gets hot, they could just like
take it off,
fold down the thing.
Exactly.
And they're not topless, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I think that's what it's, because that costume's got to be hot, you know, with the, because it's made out of felt and all that. It's got to.
Yeah, it was probably it was soft cannon that was literally what they were supposed to be wearing underneath.
Also, if they got to take a shit, they get Porky Pickett. You know what I mean? Keep the shirt on. Yeah.
I kind of wish that the crew got to wear t-shirts like this. Imagine if that was their uniform, like they all wore like black t-shirts.
Sometimes we see them.
And on the back it says fresh ingredients.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sometimes we see them in what their future version of casual clothes are, and they don't look that comfortable. No. So it would be kind of neat if they saw them in like just t-shirts.
You never know, dude. I will say this. I'm not spoiling anything, but Data here in this picture that we'll post on our socials looks, and for the people who have seen The Sopranos, tell me Data doesn't look like fucking not Sylvia, fucking Furio from fucking The Sopranos, dude.
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I actually know who you're talking about at this point.
He looks like Furio, dude.
A tiny bit.
Yeah, he's like Tony.
A ponytail.
He's a Tony. He's.
Yeah,
there could be Lore who acts like a soprano.
Yeah, dude. Lore, like, he painted his face and went to Italy, and then he worked for Tony Soprano.
And by the way, the third picture that
going on in the third photo here? What's Worf doing?
It's like Worf kissing Picard's hand. Yeah, as if what the Picard fuck? Is a king or something.
Well, Don Picard.
Yeah, that's
we were just talking.
Or maybe it's when he got knighted. Remember?
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Or it's Jean-Luc Soprano.
Yeah,
you don't know.
And Furio's there in the background.
Got to kiss the ring, Worf.
I don't know what the story is behind that photo, but very fascinating. But also really cool that you can see the production light overhead.
Maybe Worf was like, "Do you want to know what my forehead bridges feel like? Here, let me show you."
he's like fascinating. The ribbed for her pleasure.
No, but I do think Lily is correct. This is incontrovertible proof that Worf does, in fact,
have a life with Picard.
Oh, yes.
What's Geordi doing in this photo? Geordi's like fucking like wiping his head or something with like a towel.
It's hot because it's fucking hot in there. All the hot lights and their fucking thick ass uniforms. It was miserable sitting under all those hot lights.
Do you see the light above Picard's head? That like massive ass light?
We're lucky to live in, for people who work on set these days, man, we don't have to worry about tungsten lights anymore.
Wait, it's all did they LED. Not keep it super cold though in the studios back then? No.
It's still hot.
You try, but you can only do so much when it comes summertime in California.
And they can't pump in the AC while they're shooting. It's fucking loud. They got to turn it off.
Yeah, I was once part of a shoot that actually OK Go was part of it. But my entire job that day as a PA was turning off and on the AC.
Yes, this is real.
For takes. That's all I did.
That's literally how studios work back then as well. Like you have to crank the AC and you have to plan because some studios, it's a slow AC. So you can't just ride the AC like between takes. You have to be like, okay, we're having a long break. Turn it on for 30 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's fucking sucks.
Does fucking suck.
Yeah, but now we have LED lights and nobody even shoots in a set anymore. It's all on green screens.
Nobody loves me.
Nobody even
don't worry. AI
anymore.
Will soon replace everything.
Yay.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're
but hopefully there. It won't replace you, dear listener. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Never.
Thank you.
If you like what we do, head on over to fugitiveframes.com. We have links to all the stuff we do, including the Would You Stay Tuned podcast. We got a new episode coming up eventually. And
in like a few weeks.
Yeah, whenever it's done. Whenever it's done.
Yeah.
And next week.
Furio Soprano.
It's called Relics.
Yeah.
It's a slightly important episode, but it's Relics. Okay.
Every episode is important and every episode is the best, dude. I don't believe you, dude.
I haven't said that in a very long time.
Get out of here, dude.
You said prior to this week that you kind of hated this episode.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't say it was
spoilers.
Important.
No spoilers, dude.
But like to be fair though, you did not say that it was your favorite or least favorite.
Yeah. So this is Relics. People who know what Relics is, here you go. All right, okay. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Till next
Hallelujah.
Time.
Hallelujah.
Sing us out.
Hallelujah.
Imagine.
Beautiful. Should
we all do a group song? Ooh. Come on. Hallelujah.
Imagine Picard and Worf having slow sex to this.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Simon.
Trying to sing synchronized across the internet is very hard.
Love that. That was the best one.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.